I am super excited about we're starting a new series this morning on living courageously. And I think it is something that the world desperately needs for us to do. And if you have your Bible, please open with me to the book of Joshua. This is back in the Old Testament. It's book number 6 in your Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Book number 6. Okay, so you'll have plenty of time to get there. Just put your finger there in Joshua 1 and start talking. We're going to start this discussion with a couple of stories because I want us to just have something to get us thinking about this idea of living courageously, why we should do it, what it is, what it looks like, that kind of thing. So, I tell you, let's just pray and ask for God's guidance. Lord, thank you for the work you're already doing here this morning in my heart and I trust in others. Lord, we thank you for your promise. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Lord, we believe that you're here and we want to hear what you have to say. Lord, as we open your word together, as we talk about the challenge that you gave to Joshua this morning, I just pray that every one of us will have a heart to hear you, Father, that you'll allow us to be changed by you. And we pray it in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe you have heard of this gentleman. He was in the news a while back. His name is Rafael Peralta. He was a sergeant in the U.S. Marines, and he had been with his troop of men going through Fallujah, Iraq, purging Fallujah of terrorists. It was a very difficult job, a very dangerous job. They had been going through house to house. They already had taken over the main part of Fallujah, but they were going through house to house purging terrorists out. And this was day number 7 days in a row. So they went into this one house on the seventh day, and all the front rooms were clear, but there was this one room in the back left where the door was closed. And so they head back there. Peralta opens the door, and as soon as he does, these three terrorists start firing at him with their weapons. They hit him. He is wounded badly. He's lying on the floor when he notices this grenade rolling towards him. So he immediately grabs it and stuffs it underneath his stomach. Excuse me. So that day, Peralta died. But every other man in his troop lived. Incredible. So they went to his house. Excuse me. He's a 25-year-old Mexican immigrant. The day he received his green card, he signed up to join the U.S. Marines. He signed up to be on the front line. They went into his bedroom. He had three things hanging on the wall. One was a copy of the United States Constitution. One was a copy of the Bill of Rights. And the third item was a copy of his graduation certificate from boot camp. It was almost as if he knew it was coming. Excuse me, not very many days before that tragic day, he had written home to his brother. This is what he said to his brother. He said, "Be proud of me, bro. And be proud of being an American." Now, it takes a lot of courage to take risks like that. It takes a lot of courage to give up your life for your friends and for the cause that you are fighting for. And of course, on the military battlefield, what is often being fought for is our freedom. But turning the corner just a little bit, because this is where we want to go with our discussion this morning, on the spiritual battlefield, there are often other things at stake. There are other things at risk that we are fighting for. And namely, usually, what we're fighting for are our families or our church families. And it takes courage. Of course, as many people have already mentioned, this is Father's Day. And so I'm intentionally starting here today because I believe that God has called us men to be leaders of our families, leaders of our churches, leaders in our communities. And we're going to be taking 4 weeks to talk about living courageously. The theme this morning is fighting for my family. In order to define this thing called courage, we're going to watch a video clip here in just a second. But we're going to watch 4 video clips for the next 4 weeks. Each of them are from the movie Courageous. Maybe you've seen that movie. And just to give you hopefully a little bit of motivation, on week 4 we're going to give away a copy of the movie. So if you've been here 3 out of 4 times, we're going to put your name in a hat and you might be able to win that movie to take home with you. But we're going to look at it from some different perspectives of what living courageously is. So let's start with this morning's, if you guys would just run that for me real quick.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
All right, anyone here just seeing that movie clip for the first time today? Okay, a number of people. So let me ask you, when he first was hanging out of that car and trying to, was there anyone else thinking, give it up, you know, it's not worth it? Anyone else thinking that? That's exactly what I was thinking the first time I watched it. I mean, it ain't worth it. But then when you see that little baby, it's worth it. And you know, it's been said that courage is not the absence of fear. Excuse me, it's going to be an emotional day for me. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the determination that there's something more important than fear. And that's what happened in this video clip. And that's what happened in Joshua's life. And hopefully you're there, the book of Joshua chapter 1. Let's just dive in here. We're going to read the first 9 verses together to begin with. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" So I want you to notice from this particular passage of Scripture, quickly, 3 things that we should see from here. Number 1, I want you to notice how many times God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. Okay, look at verse 6, that's the first time. He says, "Be strong and courageous. You shall give this people possession of the land." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." And then drop down to verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed." God tells him that 3 times in those short 9 verses. And every time he tells him it, he strengthens his statement. So why in the world would God have to tell his new leader 3 times in a row to be strong and courageous? I think it's because of the huge task facing Joshua. Every Bible scholar I know says that he is leading between 1.2 million and 3 million people. That's a lot of people. Think about it. Over 1 million people Joshua is responsible for. Not only that, but they're going into the land of Canaan. They're going in to take over a new land. Joshua was one of the original 12 spies that were sent into that land to report about it 40 years before this. And he wasn't one of the ones who came back with a bad report. But 10 of those spies came out of the land and said, "Guys, it's an amazing land. It's a beautiful land. It's a fruitful land. But we can't go in there, because the giants are in there, the sons of Anak. When we saw them, we became like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And their cities are fortified up to the heavens. We can't go in there." And they made the people's heart melt. And so they decided to not go in. So it was 40 years later that God's bringing them around and saying, "Okay, here's your second chance." And so this is an overwhelming task Joshua has in front of him. Now think about it. He's no different than you and me. Joshua is just like us. It could have been you standing there and God challenging you to do this. Joshua puts on his pants the exact same way you do when you get up in the morning. Think about leading 1 million people and going in to take over a new land and how overwhelming that would be. I think that's why God said to him, be strong and courageous. But also, think about your own life with me for a moment this morning. Maybe you're facing things that seem overwhelming. They're just too big to imagine. Maybe it's something that's been in your life forever. Maybe it's a brand new obstacle that's just jumped up in front of you, and you don't think that you can tackle it. You don't think it's even possible to be done. I believe God's saying to you and I this morning, be strong and courageous. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But I think God said that to Joshua because of the enormity of the task. But notice what he also, notice the second thing that he says to Joshua, and that is he not only asks him to do something, be strong and courageous, but God makes him some promises. Okay, look at verse 5. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Look at verse 7. He says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all that Moses commanded you. Don't turn away from it to the right or the left. You're going to have success. God promises him success. Look down at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God promised Joshua success. God promised Joshua no one will be able to stand before you. And God promised Joshua that he would be with him. And see, he's promised us those same things. He has said to us, I'll be with you. Think about Matthew 28. You probably know those verses. But he said to us, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them, teach them, and listen, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about Hebrews 13. I love that passage there where he says, let your character be free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do to me? God's promised to be with us, just like he promised Joshua that he was going to be with him. So, hey, yeah, we've got a huge task, and maybe you've got, even in your own specific situation, some difficult things, but God's going to be with you. The next thing I'd like you to notice from these verses is that God also asked something of Joshua. He didn't just tell him to go be strong and courageous and do whatever he wanted to do, but he asks him to do something very specific. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So he's saying, Joshua, walk this straight line. That's how I want you to live. Look at verse 8. He makes it even more clear in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So when God calls us and sends us into the mission field, just like he did Joshua, he doesn't send us out as a loose cannon, right? He doesn't say to Joshua, hey, be strong and courageous, run out there and just take your sword and start swinging it. And he doesn't call us to be loose cannons. He's got a very specific life that he wants us to live. And it's contained in this book. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Specifically, he asked Joshua to do three things. He said, first of all, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's going to be in your mouth. So in other words, he should be reading it. He should be actually verbalizing it. He should be saying it to himself and to other people. Secondly, he said, meditate on it day and night. Day and night, these words ought to be rolling through our minds, and we ought to be thinking, man, how can I do that? How can I be like that? You know, God's called us to so many incredible things. Thirdly, he said, so that you can do it. We should be meditating on it so that we can do it, is his idea. So God's not called us to just go do whatever, but he's called us to be not only as wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves. He's called us to love our enemies. He's called us to be kind and patient and gracious. We're not fighting the battle that Joshua was fighting. His battle was with a sword and a spear. We're fighting a spiritual battle where we are demonstrating to the world the love of God. We are to be like no other person on the planet. We're to forgive our enemies and love our enemies and demonstrate God's love to them and care for them, even if they mistreat us, even if they abuse us. We're to lay down our lives for them. That's the example that Jesus set. That's what he did for us. So, three things here. God told Joshua three times to be strong and courageous. He made him some promises, and then he gave him a specific way to go about his task. Turn with me just back a few pages into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. I want you to notice something back here also. See, the words that we just read together are not the first time Joshua heard something like that. Okay, in other words, it wasn't a big surprise to him. God had been preparing him. He didn't just find out that day, oh my goodness, I'm in charge of 1.5 million people and I'm supposed to lead them into the promised land. God had been preparing him and he knew that it was coming. Deuteronomy 31, read verse 23 with me. It says, this is talking about God. It says, then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Okay, so now this happened probably at least a few months before. Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man for like 40 years. But at least several months before Moses died, and before that day when God really turns Joshua loose on his mission, he had already given him this commandment. And see, I believe that God's doing the same thing in our lives as well. And I think if you just think about your life, you know, you'll know this, and you probably know it already. I'm probably not telling you anything new. But God prepares us for what's next in life. You know, he's probably saying things to you and has been saying things to you in your past. And today is maybe, you know, just another step in the journey. Maybe this is a culmination in the journey of something that God's been calling you to. But he calls us and he prepares us and he says, okay, listen, this is the life that I'm leading you to. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to serve me. This is your next step for me. And so I'd just like you to think through that. And if you would, take out that little piece of paper that Scott was handing around earlier. And on the right-hand side there, there's a little box. And the question in the box is, what has God commissioned you to do? What has God commissioned you to do? And I'd just like you, if you would, to write in that box. I mean, we've talked about this at different times, things that we feel like God's called us to do. But what's on your heart? What is it that you feel like he's called you to do? If you would, put your name up at the top there. I'm not going to ask you to turn this in. This is for you. This is for your eyes only. I want you to take this home with you. I want this to be something. We're going to talk more about it in just a minute. But right now, the idea is, what's God asking you to do? What's his call on your life? What's his commission to you? Just like he gave a commission to Joshua. I just want to pray for you while you're filling that out. Lord, we just want to hear you right now. Because I believe that you're speaking to hearts. Lord, you're saying something that I don't know, something that I could never say. And I just pray, Father, that you will enable every one of us to be honest with ourselves and to hear your voice in what it is you would want us to do. What decision you would want us to make. What next step we should take. Maybe it's a step toward you. Maybe it's a step to reconcile a marriage, to be reconciled to a son or a daughter or a parent or a friend. Maybe it's a step to tell my neighbor the good news of Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will not let fear stop us from putting pen on paper or taking the other steps. Lord, I pray that we will, as we've already talked about, remember that there's something more important than fear. Amen. All right, and if you would turn back with me to Joshua chapter 1, I want us to look at one other thing there. After God commissions Joshua here, he begins to take charge. Okay? Verse 10, he starts to do what God's asked him to do. Just read that with me. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the midst of the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to possess the land.'" Okay, so Joshua is, "All right, okay, Lord, we're on it. We're on it. We're going for it." And he begins to take charge. And if you read those succeeding verses, you'll see him taking more steps to take charge. But the thing I'd really like you to notice this morning is the response of the people. If you drop down to verse 16, you'll see how they respond. It says, "They answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him, he shall be put to death.'" So you notice here that the people are serious. They're like, "Joshua, we are all in. We're going to do whatever you say, and anyone who won't obey you, we're going to put him to death. I mean, we're going to obey you." But look at their very last words, their very last words of response to Joshua. They say, "Only be strong and courageous." Isn't that interesting? I mean, we don't know that these million people knew anything about God's commission to Joshua or how much they knew about it until they got to read about it later. But they said the same thing to Joshua that God said to him. Isn't that fascinating? They said, "Be strong and courageous, Joshua. We'll do whatever you say, but be strong and courageous." And so I think the message for us is the people that we are leading, the people that you are leading in your families, need you to be strong and courageous. You know, they need you and me to do what's right, not what's easy, not what's convenient. They need us to do what's right, and they need it desperately. And so, that's our challenge for this morning, that we will fight for our families, that we will fight for our church families, just like the man who risked his life for this truck, just like Rafael Peralta, who gave his life for his fellow troop members. God's calling us to fight for our families and our church families. Well, Lord, I know I've had a lot of emotion and a lot of tears this morning, but I have a lot of joy in my heart. I just want to thank you for this challenge, Lord, to live life courageously, not to be in fear, not to be lazy or complacent, not to have our eyes shut to the needs of the world around us, to the needs of our families, to the needs of our church family. But Lord, you've called us to live courageously, and that's what we want to do, Lord. We want to rise up and follow you with all of our hearts, just like Joshua did as they began the journey, Lord. And that very day, they began preparing to march. And Lord, that's the kind of men and women that we want to be. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that whatever they've put on that paper, that you will lead them, that you will enable them to accomplish these things. Lord, I pray that whatever you're saying to each of our hearts this morning, that we will respond to you. And I pray this with joy and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.